We are going to still be bouncing around in John. And I was thinking today that we're going to kind of take it another step further in what we were talking about last Sunday with truth, and go more into talking about the Holy Spirit, being free and what we're really free from. You know, we talked about last week about truth and embracing truth, and that destroying and wiping away lies that we believe, and starting to write down some of those truths. Did anybody have any moments this week of just stopping and writing down some more truth and adding to your list? Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else? No. I want to encourage you, just like when you, as you go, like as truth is revealed, or if you're feeling something that that is weighing you down, that's not truth, it's a lie, allowing him to replace that. And writing those things down in your journals. And sometimes, like, I have lists in different places that are the same list, you know, and 5 years later it's the same list, but continue to remind ourselves of what's true. But I want to start in John 8, 36. John is where I'm at right now. And so it's interesting that, like, when there's a topic that's that I'm doing, like, it seems like all the verses are in John as well. So I'm just slowly, like, in the mornings, I'm reading little by little. And as I come across verses that stick out to me, I've just been writing them down, and that's kind of been my morning routine as I'm eating breakfast. But I want to start with John 8:36, and so some of these verses are similar, but I want to take it a little bit deeper and a little bit further. So John 8:36 says this. It says, "For if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and become unquestionably free." And I love how the passion, the translation in that. So, if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son, or daughter, both is included in that, and become unquestionably free.
Where is that at again?
John 8:36.
I'm in John 8:36, and that's not what mine says.
What is it?
Oh, wait a minute. Forget it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in 8:38.
Well, that's a different verse.
I don't know how I did that.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. It's close.
Got it.
It's close. So, I looked up the word free in this and what it was talking about. So, because it says be unquestionably free, it says to be free is to be released from bondage, which makes sense. To remove the restrictions of sin or darkness, because you're delivered by God into the spiritual liberty or growth. So I'm going to say that again. So to be released from bondage, to remove the restrictions of sin or darkness, because you're delivered by God into true spiritual liberty, which is growth. So when we're in bondage, you can't grow. Every once a month, Rev leaders from around the country, we have what's called a Zoom call. And so Tommy or somebody kind of leads it, and we have about an hour, and I've just been feeling kind of, you know, funky a few, last couple weeks, and I shared that with you guys last week, but as we were talking, I had this image. You guys ever played with those one toys that you soak in water and they grow, right?
Yeah.
And I still love those. But they usually come in like some little plastic thing, right? They have to like kind of pop open and then you put it in the water. Mm-hmm. And I had this image of like we're soaking in him, but yet we're protecting ourselves with something. And having this protective, like, plastic covering. And so we're soaking it, but we're not able to grow. We're not actually allowing our freedom to do for us what it was meant to do. And so we're staying bound, but yet we feel like we're being protected. So either it's allowing this, like, comfortable fear, or allowing these lies of, like, well, I'm not as big as those people, so I'm not going to risk, right? That's for somebody else to do. Because if we do, then we're afraid that we're going to fail, and so we stay small. Right, so whatever the reason is that we feel like we need to kind of protect ourselves and hold in, or we're afraid to step out because we're afraid of being hurt, what could be some other things you guys can think of that could keep you contained and not grow in liberty? And it could be something that feels comfortable.
When you get more freedom, you get more responsibility.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes you don't want to have to be responsible for anything.
Okay. So being overwhelmed by having more on your plate,
Sometimes you don't grow because you don't feed, right? If you don't
take in the right input, you're not going to have an output.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So sometimes just not getting the right input is going to stop your growth.
And if you think about that, like physically, a lot of people have comfort foods, right? And they're actually very destructive for their bodies, but they feel safe. They feel comfortable. There's something that we know. And, you know, I think about, like, you, how you've been changing, like, your diet and having certain things that you eat that are healthy. You're feeding your body with the right things. And yet those aren't the comfort foods that you would normally go to, right? But that felt safe. That felt known, right? It was, but to bridge out of that and to do something different, to feed on the right things, then you can actually grow. And so just to have that image of we're kind of stuck in those little plastic things and we're putting it in the water, but we're not actually letting it soak into us, right? So with that idea of to be free from sin is really to be free from the restrictions of darkness. And darkness keeps us away from light, and light is where we grow. Light is where truth is revealed, right? Light is what washes away the lies that we believe, the things that keep us small. Yeah?
Well, I was also thinking about, like, certain plants. Or even people, if you put, there was like an experiment done, I think in like the Nazis in World War II, where they kept twins and babies in cribs, and they stopped growing and they started to get deformed, because if you're not in a space that's allowing you to grow, if you're not in a place that's big enough for you to grow, you can only grow according to your environment. So I think if you're not putting yourself in an environment or in a space that's allowing for growth, you'll never grow, because you can only, you know. It's just that weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They call it failure to thrive, which is a real thing. We have some friends who adopted some kids out of the foster care system, and the little girl was so teeny because she was left in her crib for, like, just alone for such a long time. When she got into a safe, healthy place, she started growing and thriving and learning and doing things. But she was just stunted in her development, and she was not thriving, you know. And so being in a safe place, but sometimes those places, we don't recognize them as safe because sometimes they're more vulnerable, right? And so those places that feel comfortable, the places that are connected to our past and are maybe unhealthy patterns, but they feel like they're comfortable, they feel safe because they're known. And when we step out of things that are unknown into places that are actually more safe, we don't see them as safe because we don't know them. What's that?
You're not used to it.
We're not used to it, right? It's so different from the life that we've been living, so we gravitate. And you see people, we see this a lot with encounter weekends. We see people, like, really be freed up from a lot of lies and liberty and being able to grow. And then we see in their lives, they go back and they gravitate back towards things that they're familiar with, things that they're comfortable with, right? And then you watch them shrink again. You're like, whoa, what's going on? Like, I know that there was freedom that took place there. So that thing of, like, to remove the restrictions of darkness and to be delivered by God into true spiritual liberty or growth. So we're going to flip now to John 14, 16 through 17. And John 14, verses 16 through 17. And as Jesus was talking to people, and it's amazing, because if you really go through and read John, like, there's so much about truth, light, life, like, who Jesus is revealed so strongly in John. But then he says, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to go away. And you think about these people that gravitated toward Jesus because there was something real, right? There was something authentic. And even though they didn't understand it all, even though when he said, like, eat my body and drink my blood, they're like, what? You know, like, we don't want to be cannibals. Like, he pushed against, we talked about this last Sunday, he pushed against things, right? He dismantled beliefs that people had held on to for a long time, and some people were very uncomfortable with that. But some people were like, where else do I have to go? You're it. You're all that I have, right? I know there's something true about you. What you do for people and the way that you light up people, there's something real there. You make me feel alive, right? Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when they were with him, they felt something, right? And they didn't understand all the dogma, all the doctrine, all of that with it. They just knew that he was a person that helped them to feel alive. He brought liberty and freedom. And now he says, I'm going to be leaving. And where I go, you can't go with me. Like, how devastating that would be. And some of these people had walked with him for 3 years, right, during his ministry time. They'd been walking with him. They're like, there's something new about this. They'd left their jobs. And he says, but I'm going to send someone. It's better that I leave so that I can send someone. And he says in John 14, 16 through 17, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of Truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And I love, like, in this translation again, like, I love how it says, the Holy Spirit of Truth. That's who's going to be sent to you. And a lot of translations will call him Counselor and Advocate and Helper. But the guy who translated this, he said it really should be Savior. And the reason for that is this. So he unpacks what Savior is. So in this context, I'm going to give you a Savior and other people, Helper, Advocate. It comes from, like, a defense attorney. One called to stand next to you as a helper, to protect, defend, and save you from, this is what's interesting, to save you from yourself and your enemies, and to keep you whole and healed. I mean, there's a lot packed into that one word. And that's the thing, like, we can see these one words, you know, these words that are used, and, like, there in the Hebrew tradition, in the Greek, in the Aramaic, there was so much in one word that they understood because of their tradition that we don't understand. And then we simplify them to English is, there's just not as much pack. Yeah, it's not adequate. And so,
which word was it?
Savior. And other places might have Counselor, Advocate, that kind of stuff. But when he unpacked it and went back to the meaning of it, he said, it's to protect, defend, and save from yourself and enemies, and to keep us whole and healed. And I think that's the thing, like, to save us from us, from how we keep ourselves small, from the things that we have as this plastic covering of protection that we're trying to protect ourselves, which actually keeps us from growing and being in true liberty. He guides, defends, comforts, and consoles. He's the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to end the work of sin, the curse, in our lives and to save us from its every effect. And we've talked about in the past about sin, and sin is missing the mark. And I really believe that, like, sin is what keeps you from living your best self and becoming who God designed you to be. It's what hurts love. It's what breaks us and breaks other people, right? And so even if it's just, if it's sin in the lies that we're believing, it keeps you from being who God created you to be, from loving people purely and wholly. And I think with all of this, as we're going, you know, into November, I really try, I have the past few years, I'm going to do it again this year, as I'm going to start to switch my mind and what I think about and start finding things that I'm thankful for and looking for the good. And so every day, I try every day, like on Instagram, just to post what I'm thankful for that day. And I think it's really important because we get locked in these patterns, these mindsets that keep us looking for negative. And what you look for, you're going to find. So if you're focused and depression is where you're staying, you're going to find more of that. You're going to find more darkness if you're looking for darkness. You're going to find more bad in people if you're looking for bad in people. It's there. But you're going to also find good. You're going to be able to call out the positive things in other people. You're going to be able to love people more when you're looking for good. And being thankful is another way for, I believe, us to grow in truth. Because when we only look for the negative, when we only look at darkness, when we allow that, it permeates our minds and it keeps us from seeing where God is moving, what God's doing, how he's flowing in our lives and through our lives. And then it stunts, when we see negative things, it stunts us and makes it difficult to be able to love people well. It just does. Have you ever felt like when you're just in a negative mindset, it's really hard to love people? Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you see all the negative things with those people, right? Yeah. You pick them apart. Mm-hmm. You know, you find all the flaws. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's because we're finding all the flaws with ourselves. And so that's where truth helps us to see ourselves in better light, helps us understand God better, helps us be able to see better, see other people better and love them better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we can't take this walk and compartmentalize part of it. You know, this walk with God. It's not just these little topics that we're talking about. It all flows together. And when one thing is off, it permeates and affects all the other things as well. So I was thinking, okay, so the enemy, what is his goal? Right? I do not believe that Satan has the ability right now to come and kill me. I don't believe that he has that ability. But when it says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I believe that he has the ability to bring in lies into people's lives to keep them from believing in a God that brings eternal life, and that's where death comes from. Mm.
Spiritual death.
Spiritual death. And so a lot of people are like, oh, that was the enemy. He caused that. Mm-hmm. He gave that person cancer and killed them. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing that he... Let me rephrase that. Especially those of us who have given our lives to him, we are protected under God. But I think we give the enemy a lot more credit for things that happen. We live in a broken world, and there is disease and stuff, mm-hmm. and I don't think that it's always Satan who's doing all of that stuff. I believe the biggest way that he moves is lies. Yeah. He is the father of lies. And so, I have cancer, and so a lie he could bring is saying, that's what God did to you because you did this stuff in your past. So he brings in a lie, which then people start to separate themselves from God. Believe, well, that's not a good God because he gave me cancer. Well, that's the lie. I don't think that the enemy is orchestrating cancer. I believe we're in a broken world that is crying out and hungry for the sons of men, which is people who believe in God, to be revealed and take this world back, to bring kingdom to earth, right? And so I think we give Satan way too much credit. But when it says to come and steal, kill, and destroy, I kind of put this, to steal our hope, to kill our dreams, and to destroy our identity. Mm. Right? That's what he does. With the lies that he brings, it destroys who we believe that we are. It kills our dreams and our hope, and it's hard for us to move forward. He wants us to live small. I remember there was a time I was in California, and Aaron and I think we were driving looking for Amanda's brother who had died. But we started, there was a conversation we were having about, I think it was with me and you. I don't know. There's another guy. Anyway, sorry. That doesn't really matter. But we were having this conversation of this story that somebody had told about the enemy having a conversation with, like, demons. A fictitious story. But was basically saying that, like, it either to make people believe he didn't exist or to make people fear him. But both had the same effect. Right? So there is an enemy that is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And so if we ignore that he even exists, then we allow him to get into our lives in ways that we don't want him to, right? So we need to be vigilant and understand that we need to pursue truth because truth is what removes lies. But also, or to fear him and give him way too much power in our minds to say that he is bigger than God. Mm-hmm. Right? And both of those destroy. They destroy our lives and keep us back. So it's a I'm not going to tell the whole story. Is that what it's from?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. It was...
Yeah. Okay. So I said that story badly, but you could read the book. Anyway. Mm-hmm. It is a really good book.
What's the guy's name?
I mean, the only power the enemy has is lies.
Yeah.
Right.
I really believe that.
And
he
cannot control things. We have this tendency to think that he has some, like, great level of control of some, right? But that's not true. But he is a deceiver, which means the lies don't look like lies.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
What they look like really beautifully painted, right? Mm. That's the difference between a lie and deception. A lie is like, this book is blue. And everybody's like, no, it's not. That's a lie. Deception is me actually, at the end of our conversation, convincing you that this is what blue looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's a different thing.
Yeah. What I think is crazy is I've been journaling a lot over the past, everything I've been through the past year with my health. And when I first went into Huntsman, I totally believed God didn't love me anymore. Listening to, but then I got, when I was there and nobody could come up and visit, I kind of like really got into my prayer life. And like, okay, God, just get me through this. It's kind of like the comedian Bill Cosby used to do this thing where, oh, Mr. Toilet Bowl, you're my only friend. And literally, I was kind of going through that where I just didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, my God, I'm here over a year. I'm alive. I have no reason to blame God. If anything, I got to thank God because I'm cancer-free, I'm drug-free, I'm alcohol-free.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's only Him that could have done it.
Mm. Yeah. It's awesome.
So.
Yeah. Amen.
When you're done, can I share something that I got to share with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me finish this and then we'll
do
it. Yeah. So, as we going back to like what the enemy does, he steals, kills, and destroys. And it says, it's all done with lies. The Holy Spirit of truth encourages us and helps us to battle those lies and to live free. That's the power that we have. And so when Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send a Holy Spirit, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth with you, we have the ability to recognize lies because His Spirit is in us. And where truth is, lies are revealed to be what they are, right? And so as we walk with Him, as we sit in Him, as we soak in Him, as we grow, as we take off that protective covering that we think is protecting us, and we allow ourselves to grow and really be free, to be in liberty, we are able to become who He created us to be. Mm. And that's powerful. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. And this walk in darkness, the translator here, he put another way to say it. They will never be driven by or pushed by darkness. So never walk in darkness doesn't mean you're never going to come up against darkness. And so I think that's what people think sometimes. They're like, oh my gosh, I guess I'm not saved because look, I just came up against darkness. There's darkness here. Well, yeah, because there's darkness throughout the world.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be driven by it, right? I'm not going to be pushed by it. I'm not going to be washed, you know, like with the waves, like flowing with the waves or the wind blowing me around. I'm not controlled by darkness, but you're going to come up against it, and you're going to be able to recognize it to be darkness, and you're going to be able to make a choice. And that's the biggest thing that we have as believers. We have the power to choose. That's the truth. And in those moments where we choose sin over liberty, over life, over truth, when we choose to sin, what we're saying oftentimes is, I don't have a choice now. We turn that off and we feel out of control. And yet, we have self-control because the Holy Spirit's with us. We have the ability to recognize things for what they are and move in truth and make a choice that's different. And that's what's exciting. And I think sometimes we can get really weighed down by just everything that's happening. It's like, we are victorious because He's victorious. We have liberty and we can grow. I'm not going to remain this. Throughout my life, I am going to continue to grow, continue to become bigger in Him. It is a process. When we were on that Zoom call, Alicia, Berto's wife, said this, and I think it was really interesting. She said, it's a mercy that it's a process,
mm-hmm.
and He gives endurance for it.
Mm.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mercy that it's a process. You know, there's something in that, even though it's challenging, but it's in that that we actually recognize how valuable it is to have that freedom. You know, people who have never really tasted and understood slavery or understood being bound to something don't understand the gift of freedom and using it to its fullest, right? And some people who don't realize that they're actually free still can live in this mentality of, I am bound. There are these psychology studies that have been done where people, even though they were released and said, like, you are no longer a slave, they still lived as though they were slaves because that's all they knew. That had been beat into them. That had been, their minds had been brainwashed to believe that's all they were worth for, or all they were, how do I say that? That's all they were worth. Yeah, their worth was wrapped up in slavery.
Yeah.
They had no worth outside of that, and so they didn't live any different, even when that was over, right? And so, but then there are other people where they were freed up, and they recognized that what that was, and they used that to its fullest, right? They did great things with that. We have a choice. We have been liberated. We've been freed up to be His, to grow, to love, and that's the biggest thing. And I'm probably a broken record how much we go back and talk about love, but I think that's the whole focus, right? The whole purpose of being able to recognize lies is because lies get in the way of me receiving love and giving it, right? If I think that I'm not worth being loved, it's going to be hard for me to receive it from him. If I look at other people and don't believe that they are worth being loved, and I believe lies about other people and only see the darkness and the heaviness, then I'm not going to be able to love them in a pure way. And lies just get in the way of love. So I think, like, as we're continuing to move forward, and as you go into this next week, allowing truth and write down truth of who you are, truth about who somebody else is. And if you're having a hard time with somebody, ask God. Say, God, show me this person through your eyes. What's really happening? And oftentimes what it'll reveal is that their actions are coming out of a place of brokenness. And that's where you can start to speak into. Oftentimes we just want to be like, that person's so frustrating. Well, there's something there. So what are you going to be a part of? You know, how are you going to be a part of their process of healing and wholeness? So I want to pray for us, and then David, I'll have you share. So God, I thank you that you are truth, that we are liberated, that we have the ability to be free in you, to grow, to love, to receive love, and to give love. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here in our lives, speaking to us, helping us understand that when we come up against darkness, that you help us recognize it for what it really is. Help us to continue to see who the enemy is, to not make him bigger than he is, but also not to just ignore his impact on our lives, but to be able to walk in this life understanding truth and being able to use that truth to combat lies and to continue to cleanse our minds. I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes to see who we are in you, to see who you really are, the fullness of you, not to compartmentalize you, and also to be able to see other people so we can love them, that we can see the good in them. And as we go into this next month, Lord, as we go into November, and not that Thanksgiving is only for that month, Lord, but that you would just help us to create patterns of being thankful for the things that are in our lives, thankful for the things that you are doing in our lives, to shift our mindset, to say no to negative mindsets, to say no to negative thought patterns, to seeing the bad in other people, but to choose to see the good. God, I thank you that you continue to walk us through this process, and I thank you that you give us the endurance to keep going, that you give us the grace and the peace and the strength to continue to say yes to you every single day. And God, we're not perfect, and we stumble. But God, you are always there to pick us up. You're always there to remind us about who you created us to be, to show us the true version of who we are so that we can pursue that. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for truth. Jesus, thank you that what you did on the cross was enough, that when you rose from the dead, you provided life for all of us, that we can live who you created us to be now, that eternal life starts now, that knowing you, God, for eternity, it starts now. We don't have to wait to know who you are and to walk in your kingdom. And so, God, we just pray that in our lives that we would see more and more that your kingdom is coming, and that we would bring it here, that it would flow through us to other people, Lord, that we would love people well. Thank you, God. Amen.